The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello again and welcome to God Calling. I am Paul Orlowski. A special guest today joining us right now is Sister Anne Kateri, and Sister is a member of Our Lady Queen of Angels Convent. That's in East Harlem, New York. Sister, welcome to God Calling.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. Sister, tell me about your call and tell me about growing up. Let's start there. I know you're the oldest of 12 children, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. Very, very blessed by God with a beautiful family, very faithful parents. I was born in New York City. Really grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. Both my parents are from there. Yeah, grew up knowing the Lord, loving the Lord. And he really started to place on my heart at an early age the idea that he was calling me to be his and to serve as a religious sister. The age of 10, 11, 12, that idea was there. The beautiful church hymn that we often sing, "Here I Am, Lord," was very powerful for me as I would hear the refrain, "Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? I've heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart." I would hear the words of that song and feel like, yes, maybe the Lord was calling me to leave my beautiful, comfortable, middle-class upbringing, to leave that and to hold his people in my heart in a particular way. Mother Teresa, of course, was alive and serving the poor very beautifully, and was very much an inspiration for me throughout high school in particular. Senior year of high school, I was accepted early to Harvard University, which was a great gift, a surprise. It was a stretch for me academically, but I was accepted, and I found it as a gift from the Lord, and I said to the Lord, "Well, yes, Lord, if this is what you want, I want it too, but not yet, and let's not tell anybody." I didn't want to go to Harvard. I didn't know what I'd find at Harvard, but I didn't want to be the girl that was going to become the nun. So it was between God and me, and I got there. I was pre-med. People would ask, "What do you want to do?" And I'd say, "Oh, I want to be a missionary doctor." In my head, I would think a missionary nun doctor, but I would never say that. And people, you know, patted me on the back. Oh, very noble aspiration. So my 4 years went well there. Senior year, I had a powerful moment. The Lord just really showed me again that he was calling me, and it was time to do something about this, and felt a real grace to start speaking about it. I went to my campus minister, and campus ministry on college campus is so key for helping young adults discern. Unfortunately, at that time, my campus minister wasn't able to help me much. Harvard's campus ministry has become very beautiful and helpful now for vocations, but at the time, when I sat down with the campus minister and asked, "How do I discern? Where do I begin?" She said, "Well, nobody does that anymore. You should really think about something else."
They need to find a new person for that job, Sister.
Yeah, they did. And then she even like questioned why I was feeling attracted to religious life. And yeah, she didn't understand that this. I really felt this to be a call from God that had been there for now 8 years.
If we roll back the clock, Sister, you say the call very early, 10 or 11, that has to reflect on the way you were brought up, your parents, your prayer habits in your family. Was it mass every day or every week or rosaries?
Sunday mass without fail, rosary as a family when we were in the car. My parents' example, my mother was a daily communicant. My dad is more reticent about his faith, doesn't wear it on his sleeve in the same way, but very faithful and devout. So yeah, their generosity, obviously being open to life, and their faith and God was at the forefront of our family life for sure.
Example is very important.
Yeah, very important. Yeah.
Now your dad's a doctor as well.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. So I was definitely following in his footsteps, and that's why I felt drawn. I thought the way I could best serve the Lord, even as a sister, would be to use the gifts that I had to serve his people as a medical doctor. I didn't end up pursuing that. I was pre-med there at Harvard. After this confusing conversation with my campus minister, my walls kind of went up. If my campus minister didn't understand why this call, I wasn't sure other people were. So I kind of put discernment on hold. I graduated, decided to take a year to work with the poor, and back in Washington, D.C., and I loved it. I loved being among the poor. I became very busy doing things for the Lord, serving him and the poor. I became the youth minister at my parish. I stopped asking him, what did you make my heart for? I was afraid. I was afraid of what he was asking of me. At the same time, studying the theology of the body of John Paul II, I became aware that as a woman, I really desired a spousal relationship, to belong totally to another person, to have somebody belong to me. And so I began dating. I had dated off and on. And after 6 years now of being out of college and serving the poor, I was dating a young man. It was very wonderful, very Catholic. We had a beautiful relationship. And after a year of dating, we actually got engaged to be married because I really thought this is what would make me happy, would fulfill the desires of my heart. I didn't understand religious life at that time to be a spousal call. And so I thought this would, yeah, bring me happiness. But a few days into it, if you took a snapshot of my life at that point, 28 years old, I was living in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. I had a great job, this wonderful young man. He had just bought a house. We were planning a honeymoon in Hawaii. I had a big diamond ring on my finger. Mm-hmm. Everything the world says would make me happy. And yet a real lack of peace came over me. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I had to tell the young man something's wrong. And I just really had to beg the Lord, like, why? Why am I not the happiest person ever? And in prayer and going to the Lord and in the Blessed Sacrament and just begging him for clarity and light, and then opening his word and reading in scripture, as I came across the story of the rich young man who, you know, asked our Lord, what must I do to gain eternal life? And our Lord said, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, come follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. It was that next line, and he walked away sad because he had many things. I read that and it pierced me to the heart. I was walking away sad from this radical invitation to follow the Lord completely, an invitation that he had put on my heart as a very young girl, because I had many things, many beautiful things, many good things that the Lord had given me, my family, this young man, my education, my job, but I was holding on to them as if they were my happiness. I was grasping them and afraid to let go. And yeah, by God's grace, did what it was really the hardest thing I've ever done, was to take that ring off my finger, give it back to this wonderful young man.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Sister, stay right there. We're going to come back on God Calling in just a couple of moments after some commercial breaks. This is Sister Ann Kateri joining us on God Calling, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back to God Calling, Sister Ann Kateri. Sister, you were telling the story of kind of comparing your life to the rich young man who could not give everything up. You were at that point engaged, had the diamond ring, successful job, but not happy in that job. Tell me about that struggle, because you said it was probably the toughest thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah, it was confusing. It was confusing to feel that the Lord was asking me to do something that on one level brought a lot of sadness. The Lord taught me a lot, that there are different levels to our hearts, that there was an emotional attachment and investment in that relationship, which was very good, but the Lord was asking me to walk away from that. And that caused sadness for me. And yet at the same time, on a deeper level of my heart, there was peace. There was peace that I was in God's will. And that peace never left me and was really the litmus test and should be the litmus test always of whether we're in God's will. So yeah, hardest thing to give back that ring and to say, I'm so sorry, but I need to really find out what God has made my heart for. Yeah, and to just ask the Lord for deeper clarity and to show me. And he did within a few weeks, as I really began to read and pray and more and discover what religious life is, to come to see it as a spousal call, that Jesus, since I was so young, was calling me to be his spouse. How beautiful when I really opened my heart to that reality. And the sadness of having left that good relationship with time healed, and the joy of recognizing that God had called me to be totally his, settled in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said that your fiancé at the time was a good Catholic guy. How did he take that? Because I'd feel terrible if I was the guy who was broken up with, if I keep trying, I'm pulling somebody away from the calling of Jesus.
Right, exactly. Yes, it was very hard, and in fact so hard that we really couldn't stay in touch with each other. The relationship had meant so much to both of us, so I can't speak too much of how he felt, because really had to part our ways, but I know that he did express to me, I asked his forgiveness for the hurt that I caused, and he did offer me his forgiveness, and we just parted by saying we'll pray for each other. And I do know that he is happily married now with children, and, and he did find his vocation. So.
Well, that's like you said, prayer gets you through some tough times. That's for darn sure.
Exactly.
Now, still, I don't know that you've told your family yet.
Oh, that's right. Yes. They were very much accompanying me through the process of ending my engagement. They stood by me during that, and different members of my family understood or didn't understand. They had mixed reactions to all of that. My dad, who is so happily married, just said to me, "Well, come on, honey, there's other guys out there. Like, shouldn't you try dating some more?" But that wasn't what my heart was longing for, to give myself to Jesus. So they have come to fully understand, my parents, at least most of my siblings, fully understand and really embrace my vocation very, very wholeheartedly.
One of the articles I read about you said that a roommate had said something to you at Harvard that maybe the seed, but cultivated the seed a little bit.
It did. Yeah. I didn't. One of the details of the story there is, that moment, I made brief reference that there came a specific moment my senior year that the Holy Spirit really broke through, through speaking to my roommate. Here for 8 years, I'd been kind of keeping my vocation under wraps and between me and God. I was actually in tears crying to my roommate that a young man had broken up with me, and thinking to myself, why am I crying about this? This is very silly. I know one day I'll eventually be a sister, so really silly to be crying about this young man, Matt. And my roommate, really out of nowhere, said, "I'm so sorry about Matt, but do you think maybe God is calling you to be a religious sister?" And I was shocked. I had never made mention of it before. Obviously, she knew I was very faithful, practicing, and devout, so it wasn't totally out of the realm of possibility. But when I said, why did you say that to me? She goes, "I don't know. I just felt like I had to. I felt compelled to ask you." And I can only attribute that to the Holy Spirit at work in her. Because as soon as she asked me, and as soon as I said, "Yes, I do feel called," an incredible lightness came, that it was now out in the light, out in the open. And it was actually that night that I called my parents and said, "I think I have a religious vocation. I think I'm going to start discerning." And I was ready to really move forward. And then everything kind of came to a halt a few days later when I talked to the campus minister and kind of...
Right, yeah, put a damper on that, huh?
Put a damper on that, yeah.
Well, two things. Number one, what year would that have been with the campus minister? What was going on in the world that she said nobody does that anymore?
Yeah, it was 1999.
Okay.
So many years ago at this point. God bless her. I think she had her own vocational struggles, perhaps, and there was maybe a wound in her heart. I don't know her well, but I have presumed, perhaps maybe she had a vocational call that she didn't follow. Yeah, I think...
Yeah. There's a contrast there that I'm seeing, and that is, number one, somebody can say something to you that will pull you back from the brink of making a great decision, and then someone else, like the roommate, who gives you that little push that's kind of a affirmation, I suppose.
That's right, exactly.
I don't think we do that enough as people and as Catholics to say, hey, have you ever thought about this or that? I'm an old guy, But in my day, you know, every grandmother wanted a priest in the family.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, Polly, why don't you become a priest? Polly, why don't you become a priest? I heard it 100 times, you know. But I don't think we do that anymore.
That's right. That's right. No, and it, as you said, it plants a seed and it's an encouragement. I think, you know, with my roommate, she was listening to the Holy Spirit. She wouldn't have put it in those terms. She herself was practicing Catholic. But, you know, to ask the Holy Spirit each day, use me as your instrument. Help me to speak words that come from you, to be open to that in our daily lives.
Jesus, I trust in you, right?
Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. Yeah.
Sister, stay right where you are. We'll be back on God Calling, talking some more with Sister Ann Kateri. Stay tuned. Thanks once again for joining us here on God Calling. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time. Sister Ann Kateri joining us. Now, Sister, your order is based in Harlem, but you're actually in Atlantic City with Our Lady Queen of Angels group, and your convent is now in what used to be an old church.
That's right.
St. Michael's.
St. Michael's Rectory, yep, and parish in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the last place I'd ever thought I'd come to live as a sister, here in a casino town. We've been here now for 6 years, and it's a beautiful place to live out our vocation, to live among the poor and to serve the poor. There's a lot here to do.
Yeah, your order is growing. It's a fairly new order, but you were looking for other places to minister, other places to reach out to, and that's as opposed to all the news stories you hear from time to time of declining numbers. You guys were growing and looking for more places to reach out, from New York to now Atlantic City. How did you come up with Atlantic City?
Yeah, great. Well, the bishop. We always move at the invitation of a bishop. And again, yes, our community is the Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal, started actually in the Bronx, New York. And by God's grace, yes, we are growing. Here in Atlantic City, this is the Diocese of Camden, New Jersey. And the Bishop Sullivan, Dennis Sullivan, is originally from the Bronx and knew us well up in New York and thought very highly of our work with the poor. And when he became bishop down here, he was asking for many years for us to come and join him, assist him. And kind of a critical moment happened in 2015 when multiple parishes here were merging and there were extra buildings available. And he really asked Mother Lucille, who at the time was our general superior, to send some sisters down here. So now 6 years ago, four of us came down to Atlantic City to start our mission down here.
There were opportunities in some of these church closings. It was very controversial here in Cleveland. Definitely. As well. But now many of these old churches are being used for all kinds of outreach, some used by other denominations, some hunger centers. So it was controversial, but your bishop, Bishop Sullivan, did the right thing, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And to have the three parishes here in Atlantic City combined into one parish and the beautiful multicultural community that has now formed, I think is stronger in some ways. And yeah, again, it has given us the space to do the ministry. We have both in a former convent on one of the campuses of the church's outreach center, a drop-in center for the homeless and poor. Right now, they're serving breakfast to about 80 people. And then in the parish hall on the St. Michael campus where we live, we run a winter homeless shelter. So overnight, 32 beds, men and women.
The sisters in your order, you wear wedding rings, very important signal, or you're signifying, obviously, the marriage to Jesus Christ, God.
That's right. Yeah. No, it's a great gift to first wear the religious habit and the veil, and then secondly, the gold band on my right finger, the right hand being a sign of consecration, and a sign of my spousal union to Jesus. That before anything, before what we do as religious sisters, we're brides of Christ, and that is the source of the meaning of our life, the goal of our life, and the source of all that we do.
Your sisters live the gospel values and the ideals of St. Francis of Assisi, who reached out to lepers and others. Explain that, please.
Yeah. So in the footsteps of St. Francis, of course, all religious sisters live the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But as Franciscans, there's a particular emphasis on the vow of poverty and ourselves living a material poverty in simplicity. And so our convents are quite simple and bare, and we really try to stay away from many of the modern conveniences that others might have, knowing that these things are often just distractions from the interior dialogue with our spouse, Jesus. So to live poverty more intensely, it also allows us to really be among the poor that we serve. in many ways as their peer, their equal, not differentiating us from them by a lot of extras in our life.
Does that open their hearts to the word, to evangelization?
Yeah, it does. You know, hearts are opened through knowing that they are loved and that you are here to be in relationship with them. And I think just our simple living among them day in and day out witnesses to them that we're here for them out of love for them and out of love for Jesus and not for anything for ourselves, and allows us to grow in relationship with them, which is the key that opens their hearts mm-hmm. to hearing the truth.
You have some stern rules, only a monthly call to family, among other things, very limited contact with family.
That's true, yeah. And for me, that's a big sacrifice. Monthly call is actually just for the novices, those who are in formation as professed.
Okay.
Yeah, we can call once every 2 weeks. We do very much, you know, want to maintain our family relationships, and we know that they are that's pleasing to God. But my family, I've had to learn, my family's had to learn that my primary family now is my religious family. And so, you know, this week as we get ready to celebrate Easter, I'll be with the sisters. In fact, we'll drive up to New York on Holy Thursday to spend the Triduum with our religious family up in New York.
Mm-hmm. I read the mission statement, and you're a parallel community to the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. It talks about a twofold apostolic mission, which is hands-on work with the poor, which you've explained, as well as evangelization.
Yeah, exactly. So evangelization can take so many different forms. Often we are responding to the invitation of bishops or priests or schools to come and witness to others about God's love. Here in the Diocese of Camden, we just finished a big Eucharistic Congress as part of the National Eucharistic Revival. So we were asked to accompany one of the Eucharistic Revival preachers to each of the diocesan high schools to help lead the students in Eucharistic adoration, to share with them what a powerful way of praying that is, and help lead them into that encounter with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So just one example.
You have three convents in New York City, then one in Leeds, England, I understand, and then, of course, Atlantic City. That article that I read, that it might be a little bit old. Are there any new additions?
One in Drogheda, Ireland.
Wonderful. Sister, yeah. we're almost out of time, but I'd be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to tell people where to find out more. Let's evangelize here, huh?
Yeah, exactly. The best place is really our website. So that is Franciscan Sisters. CFR.com. Our website, you can see a lot of our YouTube videos and find out more about our community contacts for vocations that people are discerning. Here in Atlantic City, we run a missionary program for young women to spend 8 months with us and serve the poor. More information about that on the website, too.
Very good. Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal. Sister, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a delightful conversation. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Paul. Thank you. God
All
bless.
Right. Folks, thank you for joining us. We hope you'll do it each and every week at this very same time, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.